Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is the LA Steel Show. Here with Lila tonight.
I'm right here.
And George Dixon will be joining us soon, we hope. I was up visiting him this afternoon up in Kinderhook, and we were putting together. He's having a big, big party there, and I have to help him out. Yeah, he had a whole crew.
A lucky man.
All kinds of guys up there crying out loud. All talking about politics and
coming from all
about,
parts, huh?
Talking about metaphysics and everything else. And here's here's George now.
Okay.
Hey George, with us? Oh,
there you go.
Hey George.
How you doing, Lila?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
I'm getting ready for the holiday.
It seems that Leo was telling me you had quite a crew up there helping you.
Yeah, that we did, and you know, it's only just preparing for tomorrow, but I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, good. So are we.
Everybody in and haven't eaten already, and now they're off to bed or what?
I don't think so. They're just having a bite to eat, and they're just warming up for the evening activities.
What are you
Which
do?
I know is fresh strawberry shortcake, you know, fresh in the fields today, organic that is. So I'm looking forward to that after the show here, having some of that. But
I hope there's some left for you.
I just got some chocolate swirl ice cream.
There you go.
My treat. But I had some already, so I don't know if I want another one anymore. But, yeah. It was a great time there, George.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the weekend has just begun, and, you know, I get together every year with family and friends.
Oh, that's nice.
And, you know, I really look forward to it, if nothing else, it's just touching base.
Yeah.
You know, thankful, but also to celebrate, you know, our liberty.
I agree. I think that was kind of going to be our topic tonight.
Yeah.
Liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's what it's all about. This is, understand that our founding fathers were Christian Judaic heritage, and we follow that principle under one God. And, you know, we get so sidetracked at times that we don't remember that, you know, we have one thing in common. And that is just giving thanks to the Creator who has given us the abundance of life and consciousness. It's ours to have and use, but we have to remember that we have to respect ourselves, but also respect one another. And this is where our rights, natural rights, will come from. And a lot of our law was written with that understanding. And sometimes, you know, there's an illusion or a veil put over it, and you don't see it for its real meaning. Just like we don't have a democratic government, we have a republic. And the republic is altogether different than democracy.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the weekend and with spending time with family.
Oh, well, that's very nice.
A pursuit of happiness, too, and a pursuit of liberty and freedom. No?
Well, no, it's life, liberty, and a pursuit of happiness. But the happiness, now that's always an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to define, I think.
That it is.
That's why it's the pursuit of happiness.
I think lots of times you spend a lot of time pursuing it and miss it.
But you have mm-hmm. the right, the freedom to do so. That's what you have in this country.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much true, believe it or not, even with the censorship and the craziness that goes on in this country. We have a lot of fun in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the liberty to do that. And that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing. Like you know, if I'm in Connecticut, you're in New York, right? So to go from here to there, in Europe or somewhere else, of course, you'd have to have a passport. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, whereas with you and I,
this is a large country, Leo.
No, I understand.
European countries are small.
No, but all of Europe is small, but it's like little states that are all.
They're all divided up.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like if all 50 states decided to become
independent.
Independent. Yeah, it'd be a trip.
What do you mean if they become independent? They are independent.
Well, secede from the union.
Right.
And some of them are, there are about five or six states, actually, Vermont being one of them.
Yeah.
That wants to do that.
Vermont and Texas.
Well, all right, let's look at this a little further here and understand our Constitution. We have a national Constitution, but each state has their own Constitution.
Yeah.
And you live by the Constitution of the state that you live in.
That's true. Hey, listen, you know, Paranormal is just phoned in.
Let's see what...
Let's see what you want to talk to the paranormal here, Jordan?
You're welcome.
All right.
Hello.
Wait a minute. Yeah, there we go. Hello, paranormal. You with us? 111?
Maybe they're just listening.
Well.
I took his mic on. He put it on, so if he wants to talk.
He can.
Yeah.
What I was saying before is that each state is separate in the union. And they follow their own constitution, which, you know, it runs accord with the government constitution, but it's separate. And that's what we go and we live by. Our laws of our state are geared on that constitution. And elected officials who we put, this is what the republic is all about. We the people, this is our country. And what we do is we designate people to run it for us. But not them run it as theirs.
Right, exactly.
Well, sometimes...
And the way we have different people in and out is that we use democracy in the form of telling the people's response what they want. And, you know, it's with democracy, it's majority rules.
That's right.
And even though that is just a form that we use, but that's not what our government is all about.
Oh, that's,
it's really a form of socialism.
72% of the American people want health care reform, and they want single-payer health care.
Yeah.
But that our representatives and senators in Congress don't see it that way. And yet, if you interview people, about 72% are in favor of it. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I think the concept, the government is not in government to do business, and that basically is what it is, Ray, at this point.
What do you mean, George?
Well, you know, somebody's got to pay for all these different services, and these services are paid by revenues.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, we have the most expensive health care system, one of the most expensive health care systems that serves, percentage-wise, the fewest people.
Mm.
You know, if you have, it's been certainly proof that single-payer health care is the best, although, you know, there's an awful lot of propaganda, especially when Congress begins leaning towards single-payer universal health care, that propaganda machine run by the insurance companies kicks into high gear, and then you hear all kinds of horror stories.
Well, why are you saying the insurance company is the problem there?
And the doctors, they benefit from it.
So is it the insurance company or is it the doctors that the problem begins with?
I think it's collectively all of them.
Oh, I'm sure they all got their hands in a cookie jar. There's no doubt about it.
That's right.
But understanding it's setting up the prices for these procedures, and sometimes it's ludicrous. And of course, these procedures also include all this different machinery that somebody's going to have to pay for. Not only the research and the development, but also putting it in operation, just like the CAT scan. Understand what that did? It helped our industry. It costs money to build these machines, and somebody's going to have to pay for it. So like a business, they have to charge so much money in order for them to make a profit and pay their overhead. And I'm saying now the government is basically the same way, where what they've done is, like, say, the prison systems, they've turned over to private contractors who do the bidding for the government, but yet they are not the government. Just like the postal system. At one time, it was a branch of the government, but understand, it's a private corporation that runs that establishment now. So, you know, it's like if you get a speeding ticket, the ticket may be $85, but they're going to charge you a $100 surcharge. What's that surcharge for? For the course costs and everything else. You know, it's not the court's business, you know, to finance itself. And that basically is how the system is set up. So, you know, in going back to our, you know, our flow here with the Mayan calendar, we are in the sixth day, and if nothing else, along with the financial situation we're in right now, our legal understanding is coming to the surface, and everything is being exposed for what it is, and it's understanding that with the Bush administration and, you know, the oil empire itself, you know, that is not the government's want. You know, these are private individuals that were in power at the time and put in motion, the right wing to the petroleum industry. But you know, I'm if nothing else, right now it's being raised, and just like with this new Supreme Court judge we're going to put in place, with her nomination, is bringing up a lot of questions, and these questions are now rattling some of the old standings that were set in place in the last 20 years. So, who's to say what's going to happen other than things are coming to the surface and things have to change. Along with our financial responsibilities, you know, there are legal responsibilities connected with them. And, we've talked before about, you know, the world banking situation and understanding the differences in the currencies and understand the central bank system we use now. A lot of our laws right now are geared toward economic flow. And all of this stems back to the original bankruptcy of this country back in the 1930s. Understand that our Constitution, in a sense, was suspended at that time because of the debt that we entailed with the market collapse. And in bankruptcy, we are held now to foreign debtors, people we owe money to. And at that time, that supersedes the Constitution. So we've talked before about admiralty jurisdiction.
Right.
And the courts, or the flags that fly in these courts now, are not constitutional flags. They are surrendered flags. They are military flags. The gold fringe around it shows that it's admiralty. So my point is, that premise of a legal standing has been in play for years. And along with some of the rights that we had under the Constitution, they were all suspended. And from that, a lot of our legal course changed, or had to change. But, you know, we're getting deep into something brought to the surface in the last 15, 20 years. And I think it's looking at the principles we live by with what was happening with this New World Order type of government, United Nations, that has come into play. And, the idea, 20 years ago, that you would have foreign troops, you know, coming on our streets and directing people where to go, where they can go and where they can't go, was ridiculous. But here again, you take a look at Katrina. You know, we had Canadian troops. We had Mexican troops down there telling our people what to do with machine guns in their hand. So understand that a lot of this has been implemented, openly and secretly for the last 15 years. And right now we're just feeling part of the reality of that sting, or you know, that that illusion that we haven't seen.
One of the things that that's happening with Obama that he's carrying forward that Bush did and Clinton did is that instead of vetoing legislation, he, like Bush and Clinton before him, puts on these signing statements. And Obama has seven of them that he's done so far.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really circumventing the Congress and what the Constitution says that you're supposed to do. So these are things that are not voted in.
Mm-hmm.
He writes down the what he thinks and signs it and acts as if it's law.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very bad precedent to follow and a very dangerous one for this country.
That's right, yeah.
But we didn't hear too much about that in the media, of course. In the mainstream media, they don't bring anything like that
up.
No,
they don't cover any of that, and it's a shame. But, you know, there's been people out there who have followed this stuff and dealt with the systems. And, you know, they have their own personal understanding of, you know, what it is or what they're up against.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a shame that the media doesn't really do their job. They're just a mouthpiece for one world government, really.
Yeah, well, what I was going to ask is, what is their job anyways? You know, it's a mouthpiece for the new world or for the big one world government.
Yeah.
Or for the corporation. All right, I'd rather call it that because that's what it is. It's
yep.
all one big corporation.
Uh-huh.
Even policemen on the streets, they're not policemen, they're police officers. And what is an officer? An officer is a representative of a corporation. So, you know, you can be a police officer, holding to the statutory laws, or you can be a policeman by holding to constitutional rights
yeah.
and, you know, the rights of men.
Well, so what happened to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
Well, I think it's there, but it costs you too much money. And if you don't have the money and you don't play the game, you know, you don't play. But that's it. If you don't play the game, you know, you're off on your own. But if you play the game, you know, you can go on, and the sky's the limit. But it's not honest.
Pardon me?
It's not honest.
It's not honest.
No.
No. Well, that's true. Oh, well. So how does where we are right now reflect in the Mayan calendar, would you say?
Well, now, you know, I think a lot of this came out in the fifth night.
Yeah.
And I think it came to the surface. And since then, what's happened is that it's crumbling. It's been exposed. And the sixth day is actually, it's breaking it down. And this is where it's falling. And we'll experience this until we start the sixth night, which is replacing this, the system that we have, with something different. Because, you know, it's due to fall, and right now it's got to fall. And once it falls, then you could pick it up and start over again. But the problem is that, you know, everybody's trying to put a Band-Aid on a situation and make it better again, but it's not working.
No, that's true.
You know, you take a look at what happened with the $700 billion bailout to industry.
Let's go.
Hey, that's...
You know, it's
Matthew,
not...
Hey, it's George.
Yes.
Was that coming from your end?
No, I think that somebody else on the line.
Yeah, Paranormal's on the line, but he hasn't come on.
I am on the line.
Oh, how you doing?
Well, hello.
Oh, I want to go back. You say it's the doctors and the insurance companies. Don't forget the pharmaceutical companies.
Without a doubt.
Now, I also want to ask you on the eve of July the 4th, do you recall the five rights that you are guaranteed under the First Amendment? Can anybody recite them?
Go ahead.
No, but Glendora, go right ahead.
Well, number one is, you know, freedom of what? Religion.
Yeah, freedom of
religion.
Okay, number two is freedom of the press.
Freedom of the press.
Yeah, three is right of the people to assemble peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Four is...
habeas corpus.
No, it isn't. Four is the right to redress your government.
Yeah, Fourth Amendment, okay.
No, not the Fourth Amendment. This is the fourth.
Habeas corpus, though.
Yeah. Can any remember the fifth of the First Amendment?
Love thy neighbor as yourself. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And
yes, I know
it. The Second Amendment is the right to bear arms.
Yes.
Yeah, that means you in January you can go out without a sweater.
Is that right?
Now, the Third Amendment is you don't have to house a soldier.
Okay.
And the fourth one is that there shall issue no unreasonable searches and seizures.
Okay.
You are to be safe in your home, in your papers, and in your effects. And no warrant shall issue without probable cause. And no warrant shall issue without an oath or an affirmation, and anything to be searched or seized must be stated in particularity. Are these good things to remember on the eve of the 4th of July?
I'm glad you brought
them. Sure are.
Certainly are.
Now, the fifth one.
Well, the idea about this show tonight, I'm grateful that you called in for that. Yeah, continue, please.
You know, while you're talking, it sounds like a fairy tale that you're reading from, because you know, there's an illusion in all these different amendments, and the illusion is what we think they believe or what they think they're saying. But go ahead.
Well, the Fifth Amendment, is that the one that says nobody shall go to court unless indicted by a grand jury?
Okay.
Yeah. And that you don't have to testify against yourself,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know which amendment that is.
Against yourself? In what way?
Reading the Fifth Amendment.
You
yeah.
don't have to incriminate yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yes, I had a sandwich at noontime, or what are you talking about? What?
You don't have to testify against yourself.
Okay.
And then you also that... your property or yourself or your freedom or your liberty shall not be taken without due process of law.
Right.
Does that include a picture or a blood sample, a DNA sample? Wouldn't that be personal property?
Well, could be.
How about my name? Isn't that personal property?
No, all I can say to you, George, is that you will not be deprived of it without due process of law.
Okay.
If you want due process of law on that, then you'll have to go to the courts. But the situation is that we don't have any courts, okay? We're out of courts. We have no courts.
What do you mean we're out of courts? We have no courts?
I don't want to get off of the Constitution, but just okay. In a flat statement, the courts are run by a ring. The judges are nothing but puppets. The ring is behind it, and they say to the judges, you get that money, and I don't care what you have to do to get that money, but you get it. You understand that? Okay, now I want to state with the Fifth Amendment, there's one more.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there's one more thing in the Fifth Amendment that you shall not. Your property should not be taken for public use without just compensation.
Okay.
Okay. The sixth is...
that fall into common law?
What?
What?
Would that fall into common law?
Not necessarily.
Well, what would you be paid for or with?
That would be like eminent domain. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, that's your property won't be taken for public use without just compensation. The
okay.
Sixth is very interesting, okay, that you shall have a public trial. That means when you go to court, George, there's no more bench conferences, you know, sidebars they call them, where the lawyers come up and connive with the judges and try to manipulate the trial. And also that means there won't be any chambers. You're not going to go into the chambers in the trial. And it also means, too, that the Sixth Amendment, you have to have, and also it means they have to have good microphones. It's not a public trial if the public can't hear it. And then the Sixth Amendment is so important when it says you shall have a speedy trial. You know that speedy has a number attached to it, 70 days. 70 days you're entitled to your trial and no longer.
I didn't realize that. It usually takes a couple of years before people come to trial.
Sue the judge.
Mm-hmm.
Sue him for everything he has.
So you say that's at the judge's discretion, these things are played?
What'd you say, George?
Is it the judge's discretion these courts are being delayed, or is it basically a rule of thumb or a procedure that they follow?
It's not a rule of thumb. It's not the judge's decision. It's a constitutional right. You shall have a speedy trial, and speedy trial means 70 days from the time you're arrested.
Okay.
Where can you bring that to trial? I mean, if all the judges are in cahoots and there is no court.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that.
Then that segment is, or that amendment is null. Right? It's a moot point because it has no power.
It is not moot. It's the Constitution, and the Constitution is never moot.
No, I understand. But if everybody's crooked, right, what point, what difference does it make if you sue?
You stand up for the Constitution, and you sue judges left and right, and you sue them because they violated their oath. They perjured their oath. They took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States.
But judges fine other judges? I mean, because they'd be winding up, they'd have to recuse themselves if they belong to that pack of thieves.
Oh, they won't recuse themselves. State judges very readily recuse themselves because they run away from everything. But federal judges, it's very difficult to get a federal judge to recuse. Anyway, that's a side point. The main point is you have 70 days.
70 days, okay.
If they don't do it in 70 days, then you move to dismiss on constitutional violation.
What are your chances of getting that them to drop it?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you might have. You might
no, because we have no courts.
Right.
Okay, I just finished with the end of the sixth.
Sixth, now the seventh.
Oh, the seventh is the dearly beloved. You trial by jury.
Trial by jury.
Yes, cannot be violated. And they do that all day long and, I've seen it in at least 200 courts. I would say across the United States, because I've also sued people across the United States, judges across the United States.
What is your position? Are you a court reporter or a court? Are you a member of a court?
No, I went to court to. Action is a legal procedure whereby you go to a court of law to demand right. Now, it didn't say rights, but to demand right, to enforce and demand right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an action is.
Uh-huh.
And so you say, what is my position? Well, I went to court and I did that, and I've been in about 200 lawsuits, and I've sued about 150 judges.
Oh.
And I spent 20 years on it, folks. And I came and I reported it on TV. They're all their dumb papers, all the dumb things they said, all the sellings of their soul. And I reported it on TV for 20 years.
Really? Well,
yes. And then I finally said to them, I took a 9x12 envelope and I wrote on the outside of it so that they couldn't say they didn't get it or didn't see it. I said, I have charged you with your violations of the Constitution and of the statutes. You have chose not to defend yourselves, therefore you have admitted all of my charges, One of the things I charged you with was fraud. Fraud has no statute of limitations. You have perjured your oath, and by the 14th Amendment, Section C and D, the state of New York or the United States government owes you no money as a judge, and D, Section D of the 14th Amendment, nor does the government owe you a pension. You've lost. Goodbye. Citizen has won.
Now, did you get any reaction to that?
Oh, of course not.
but you went to that point, so did you sue them?
Oh, I sued them for millions. Yes, I sued them for $23 million in some cases and $183 million in others.
Yeah, and
did you get into court?
Oh, yes.
All right.
And what happened?
Well, honey, there were so many courts. Name one in specifically.
Well, did you do? You said you did that in New York State.
Yes, New York, and I would say in Rhode Island. Now I'm talking about federal courts, okay?
Okay.
Federal courts, Rhode Island, Bangor, Maine, Boston, and all the circuit courts, you know. And I even went to the Supreme Court of the United States. I sued 8 of the judges.
Oh.
I didn't sue Kennedy because he took exception. He dissented.
Now, did they actually hear your case or no?
You mean oral argument?
Yeah.
Oral argument always in the Second Circuit. But no, not the Supreme Court of
no.
the United States.
So how did that settle anyway? In your favor or?
When you had oral argument in the Second Circuit Court, what happened?
One of them, the Second Circuit, went back to the district judge, which is the lowest court. There's only 3 levels of courts, federal. Went back to the district judge and said, you do this case over and you do it right. Glendora has a private right of action.
So that was a
huge victory. And all these things you understand are pro se. Don't ever hire a lawyer. Never hire a lawyer.
I learned that the hard way. Somebody told me you should go in sui juris.
Yeah, you can call it that. You can call it pro se. You can call it whatever.
If I can break in here, I have a confession to make. Glendora, the famous Glendora, is on the line, who is a dear idol that I've watched over the years and learning something about our government, the Constitution. And Glendora has been public access TV for a number of years at a number of stations. And what she talks about, she knows a little something about. And, you know, I'm a student and I still learn from her. But what she talks about is what she's done, what she's experienced. And I want to thank you for spending time and celebrating this holiday with us because you are American, my dear. And there's no doubt in my mind. And go ahead.
Oh, I'm through. I just want to thank the dog.
Now, sir, what is your background? Did you study the law, get a law degree, or just study?
Oh, no. No, I'd never do that.
No.
I just go to the law library, and I just read. The law is very, very simple and very clearly written.
Mm-hmm.
The judges and the lawyers who like to make it complicated.
Why did you say never hire a lawyer?
Never hire, because number one, they're dishonest. They cannot be trusted. They sell their souls. They have nothing left.
First of all, they hold an oath to the bar, not to the Constitution. Uphold the Constitution.
Right, you're their last consideration. You're on the bottom of the list.
They're foreign agents of the government. They're not part of the government. They don't represent the government. They represent a foreign corporation, which is the bar.
Yes, that's right. The British Bar.
That's right.
Yeah.
British Bar, you say.
The lawyer said to the judge, I want a new trial on the basis of new evidence. And the judge says, what's the new evidence? And the lawyer said, I just found out my client has another $10,000.
Glendora.
Fun, Leo.
Curious as to... How did you find out about our show?
Through Mr. George Dixon.
Oh, George told you about it. Okay.
Yes, I...
Let me ask you this. Did you feel compelled to do this research on the courts because you had been burned in a situation by a lawyer in the court?
No. Let's just say I went to court to stand up for right, and in the first 10 cases, it was a straight win. It was 10 out of 10. And then when I got into the bigger courts, I was appalled as I watched these people. Not only did I file cases, but I monitored them. And I was just appalled how they were just plain upside down. The wrong people got the decisions.
Wow. Well, that's amazing.
So who's making these decisions?
The ring.
And who is the ring?
We don't know who the ring is. George thinks it goes as far back as the international bankers. And that it figures that it might be, because the whole ring is money. They, as I repeat, they say to the judges, you get that money, and I don't care how you get it, but you get it. If you have to violate the Constitution, who cares? If you have to violate the statute, who cares? But you just get that money, and if you don't, it's all money. That's what bail is all about.
Yeah.
It's the biggest racket.
That's right. And now they're chasing its tail just to support their endeavor, and you know that they're raping us dry. They're taking every little penny that we have. Now they want to tax the carbon in the atmosphere. Give me a break.
George, I sued the international bankers. I sued about 12 of them, including the Rothschilds.
Wow.
And Lazard Frere. And Rockefeller, and the International Monetary Fund, and the in those days it was Goldman Sachs. I don't know if they're still alive or not.
Oh yeah, they're very much alive.
They're the conspirators behind this.
And then of course, as George knows, when the Federal Reserve bill was proposed, you couldn't audit the Federal Reserve system. You couldn't audit the bank, nor could you know who was on the board.
That's right.
And then these enterprising Americans went over to Switzerland, and they found out who's on the board. It is the Rothschilds. It is Lazard Frere. It is Rockefeller. It is Goldman Sachs. It is the Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, but the Americans couldn't understand that. Wouldn't believe that.
Well, you know what I don't understand is why Lehman Brothers crashed.
Yeah, I don't either.
That was a surprise to me because I knew they were part of the Fed.
They were sacrificed.
They were a sacrificial lamb or something. I don't know what they did. Not likely a lamb, more like a sacrificial goat. Yeah, but
Alan Greenspan, ask Alan how come the green doesn't span what it used to.
Ask Hank Paulson. Yeah, you know, Hank Paulson started off as the assistant to Ehrlichman. In the Nixon years, that was his first job out of Harvard.
Yeah.
So he worked for a crook.
Yeah. He cut his teeth with Ehrlichman. Yeah. So and then he went on to Goldman Sachs, and made himself a $300 million, and became the Treasury Secretary under Bush, and raped the entire U.S. Treasury of $750 billion, right?
Is he the one who took the gold out of Fort Knox?
Yeah, well, in bringing it to the surface, Glendora, we've been following the Mayan calendar, and the period that we're in right now relates to some of the changes in our government that the Mayans talked about, that what we're experiencing right now. And that's why the issue, or the legal issue, was brought up, because it is under change along with our financial industry. And what I was saying was that a lot of these things have come to the surface right now, that we're having to deal with them, just like what you're saying about the corrupt government and all these different rights that we do have. They are being exposed again, and we'll see what response they get. And you left off on number 7, dear, to a jury trial.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's enough for tonight.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, that's enough, dear. I mean, thank you for your expertise, and, you know, I value it.
And okay, and thank you for the party tomorrow. I'll see you.
Okay, then. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
God be with you, dear.
God is also with you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Nice to talk with you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
But, you know, I was speaking with Glendora, and, you know, I asked her to call up and, you know, partake if she wanted to. But
she's a lot of experience, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. Glendora is, years ago, she had her own TV show, and she was an entertainer like Bob Keeshan with Captain Kangaroo, and I think it was a Glendora show. She entertained, it was an educational program.
Oh.
And she was one of the earlier ones, you know, who started off a lot of these different programs. And you remember Ding Dong School and all these shows that hit the airwaves, you know, when TV first came into view. But she has kicked heels with the best, and even Bob Hope. But right now she lives up in central New York, where I live. And she's just a neighbor. And even though I admire her work, I have more of a personal relationship with her, if nothing else, you know, as just a neighbor. And she's a great gal. And,
well, you can tell that she is. She's a real independent thinker, George.
Oh, well, she is. And she's a Christian woman. Brings out the finite talents that she does have. Not only with her brain, but also with her heart. I mean, she's a beautiful person. God bless her.
Well, all those times that she went to court trying to find the truth and trying to establish the rights for us that are in the Constitution, I wondered how all of that turned out.
Well, she made $23 million.
And she didn't say she collected it.
Her husband was a journalist, and I know he reported with different news medias, and he kept a lot of his files and also a lot of his writings too, even after he left the industry. And if nothing else, she knows a bit about the law, and she's stepped up to the plate by herself in front of these judges and told them what she thought. And believe me, she knows how to talk with people. And she's played the runaround game. She knows the runaround games, but she, you know, she'll call whatever it is, you know, what it is, you know, and she won't back down.
You know, Leo seems to think that maybe she collected some of that money that she sued for. Did she ever actually get any money?
Oh, no. The systems, no.
No.
No. She may have gotten money. I mean, she hasn't gotten rich, I'll tell you that, from fair victories, because, you know, they play the games.
That's kind of what I was saying, George, that, you know, we strike a blow, but it's like an invisible blow, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's part of the problem with being an actor.
Thank you.
Yeah, so much of your work is they're able to dodge. It doesn't hurt them, you know.
Uh-huh.
We, even when it does hurt them, it's like a Band-Aid wound, you know.
But Leo, our legal system right now is so intertwined with business that you know, one hand washes the other, and what you got to do is you got to. You got to throw them both out and get back to law, into basics.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like we abolish common law, which has been our legal system going back to the Magna Carta, and I have to say that, you know, goes back a long time. But once you're taken, once that money was taken away from us, the ability to exchange for something of real value, it became a paper chase. And now that paper chase is worthless, and it has been worthless for years, and it's catching up with us. So, you know, we can't fix the system. We got to dump it back and go back to the original system, which is the Constitution. The government's responsibility is to have the money circulate But what they've done is that they've subcontracted out to a private corporation to distribute the money for them. And that's what the Federal Reserve System is. You see, that's their business game. And the Federal Reserve is not part of the government.
Absolutely. I mean, once they gave up the ability to print money, they lost all their power. Because in the world that we live in, as it is, money is power.
That's right.
Money have no power. And all you have to do is look at the countries that have no money. They have no power. And they're poverty-stricken.
Right.
And because they're poverty-stricken, they're prey to those countries that have money and power who just step in and take all their natural resources.
Right, it's a profit.
I mean, it's a very predatory world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the United States has been one of the biggest predators.
Yeah.
Now, I feel ashamed of that. And we've supported some really horrible dictators, and we don't necessarily support democracy.
No, no.
In the rest of the world. You know, lots of times we work behind the scenes to have democratic governments overthrown because it doesn't suit our business interests.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that happens all the time. But right there in Honduras, it's happening all over the world. But I think the key point to that is it's not so much money as it is the...
What money can buy.
What money.
Right. So what can you do? What can be done to save us?
I think if people understood more of how things work and how governments operate, they would maybe take a more active interest.
And what would that active interest be?
Well, first of all, they would try to, you'd have a media, and our media is the worst in the world for reporting anything that happens. The American people are so blind to what's happening in the world and what's happening in their own country.
Well, for them to tolerate a week of solid Michael Jackson on every station.
And Farrah Fawcett Major.
News stations. I can say entertainment stations, but news stations involving hours and hours of endless, insane, insipid coverage of Michael Jackson.
You don't have that
here. It's absurd. It's totally absurd. Even on BBC, they've got the damn Michael Jackson crap. Everywhere is Michael Jackson, and it's like, you know, the blinding out, totally blinding out any other story, all right, any other thing that's happening. And we're right in the point now where there's so many things happening. I mean, the problem with Iran, the problem with
Let's take a look at this Michael Jackson thing.
Huh?
Maybe this is what the Mayans were talking about.
What?
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
See what that has done. Now, you know, I was originally asking you, you know, what alternatives do we have, or what, you know, what is our course here? And of course, you know, you talked about educating people now. More with what's going on, and also you mentioned the media. But understand, the media is not going to do anything other than just propagate whatever you want to put out there.
But it's alternative media to have a bigger place.
Well, let's take a look at Michael Jackson now as an example, if nothing else, of how society has reacted to him. Now, I remember Michael, you know, when he first started out and watched the evolution of what he's become. And, you know, there are two sides of Michael. You know, what he did to the industry. And, you know, I think it bordered on the lines of pornographic at times. And yet people loved it. He loved his music. And they watched him, how he changed. And, you know, here I see a black man. The next minute I see a white man. And I see the cosmetic surgery that went into him. And yet here is an example of what we idol or what we look at. And then, you know, even with his family, with his children and so forth, he seeks somebody outside his marriage, you know, to produce the you know, it's not right. things with him were not our normal way. They went in their own track. But if nothing else, it's the death of this empire. You know, I feel sorry for him. But it's the ending of a time that we have to make the choice of what we want in life. And if nothing else, an example, example of the alternatives that we have in front of us now. And that is nothing else of the crashing or the ending of that era. And that's what we're experiencing now. But here is an example that we see in front of us now. Take a look at how people react to them, good and bad. You know, I God bless Michael, because the good Lord showed us or gave us a person that we could relate to, and good and bad, you know, but he opened a lot of hearts and a lot of love, and, he was a legend in his own mind or in his own time, like Jimi Hendrix was, through his years. But here again, it's all related to music and the music industry.
Here's the killer music behind you there, George, along with the violins. The guy was crazy. The guy was a pedophile. The guy whacked off on stage, for crying out loud.
I know. Yeah.
The guy was a perv to the max. Okay, and on top of that, he looked like the Joker, all right, in Batman. All right, the guy was nuts. All right.
Yeah, he was, but he did a lot of good. He gave a lot of money away, and he tried to bring joy to a segment of people that were looking for that type of joy that he had to offer. And God bless him. I mean, we all have different potentials and different things in life, and maybe that was his thing, or it was his thing,
George,
in life. Bring that.
George, it's like the Catholic Church. They paid $2 billion in all kinds of great charitable things so that they could forgive themselves of screwing over 10,000 boys, all right?
Lee,
so,
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm saying that, you're right. You're right on both sides. But, you can't throw the baby out with the wash water. And it's through compassion that we can at least identify, even with the struggles he had to survive, having to eat and make money to survive. We all go through that. We all experience that. And nobody is any different when they punch the clock. So I'm saying I can accept him as, another unity within this reality that I've seen or I put together, and it made some meaning to me or an understanding of me.
Well,
and it's nothing. It's just not the way that...
The first, the third, or fourth.
Well, I just felt terribly sorry for someone like him. A person who had a very great gift, who was miserable.
Yes.
Miserable in his own body, and what a tragedy that is, because he tried to change it from what it was. He obviously didn't want to be black. He wanted to be white.
Possibly,
and
he
was just a very tragic figure, a person who, when he finally got what he wanted, he couldn't live with it because he was a drug addict. I mean, everything was...
Yeah.
Wrong
but,
with him.
It was
poor,
totally wrong.
His
illusion
just,
was a monster. Yeah.
Oh, in the end, that's what he turned out to be physically, just a monstrosity, which is...
How many thousand other people like him are out there, too?
Well, that's sad, George. That's so sad that they idolize this guy and they become this guy, and then they wind up dying young or committing suicide or some other god-awful thing. What are you doing?
You're gonna break it.
Oh, okay. And I was tripping out of cord here.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, I can't see any value in this Michael Jackson mess. And to be bombarded with it 24 hours a day.
You don't have to be worried too much more about it because, it's all over with, Leo. It'll be over with.
It's going to be buried on Tuesday or whatever it is, and that'll be it. And they'll try to make money from him either in...
Well, they got a Coliseum that they rented out, the Coliseum, Los Angeles Coliseum or something. Or
yeah.
They have 50,000 seats, and they plan to have everyone filled.
Wow.
It's just a tragic...
Yeah, it's not.
It is, but, don't judge it. Just watch it as it's falling. And, I think the alternative that we have in front of us here is that either way you look at it, it's a lose-lose situation. And we need an intervention of some sort. And maybe an intervention will catch us off guard in a sense, or shake some kind of a reality into us. And instead of worrying about these things that we worry about, we'll have something else to worry about or to ponder. a visit from the aliens would be nice, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago.
But
the Mayans talked about, something is going to change, and maybe it's this continuous round robin we've been on, with our troubles. It's only spiraling down, and it's got to go somewhere. But maybe pray for an intervention of some sort that maybe will just take us away from this and put us in a much much clearer light.
Yeah, I hear you. But anyway, I'm sure this will drag out for the next 20 years, and people will be making a buck on Michael Jackson and talking about him.
Well, but I just want to know, George, how many aliens you've invited to your party?
Yeah.
You never know. Over the years, I have an annual party like this, and I've entertained up to 230 at one time, and I've had some people come, and I swear they're aliens. I've never met before who came in, but I was forever having people they come and visit me. When they come through Long Island, and I've met a lot of very interesting people, and some of them extraordinary too. But I don't have any invitations out to aliens on this one.
that you know of.
That I know of. Yes. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Maybe they just haven't revealed themselves to you yet.
No. Well.
We're from somewhere, but it's a trip. We're really looking forward to it, George. It sounds to me like everybody is, and be a great 4th of July. Hey, you got any fireworks and stuff?
No, but I think there's going to be some fireworks close by, so we'll see from there.
Can you buy them in New York? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but the real fireworks. You have to pay extra for it. These aren't the roadside types.
I mean the kind you buy at Walmart. They got for $20 you get about 50 of them.
Oh yeah. I don't like fireworks. I like to watch them, but I don't like handling them at all.
I don't
like anything to do with gunpowder.
You're an ex-Marine. Why would that frighten you?
I don't know. They stay in my hands. What can I tell you? But, on Long Island, there was plenty of fireworks there, not only off the Fire Island at Jones Beach Theater, but there was a lot of people who had their own fireworks, and they would set them off over the bay, and it's really beautiful.
That's nice. It's
well, I know right now a lot of cities and towns have canceled their fireworks because they don't have the money.
Yeah.
Which is
it's a shame. It's a shame.
Because it's a way for people to remember how they united in this country.
Yeah.
Fireworks. More fireworks.
Well, we should probably think about letting George go so he can get his rest or continue getting ready for his big event tomorrow.
And
there you go. I'm just trying to entertain the best I can here. But I love talking to you tonight. And even Glendora, thank you for calling in, dear. And Leo, I think she'll continue on with 7 of the rites, and she knows these rites. And I can't wait till she gets to our 9th rite, which is the 2nd rite.
Well, Glendora, it's been a pleasure, and we thank you for joining us. And George, of course, and we'll see both of you tomorrow. And we invite everybody to join us and tell your friends about this show and archive this show for, and you can downcast it and podcast it and cast it and. You can even cast it out.
Blackberry it.
You can cast it out to sea if you want. But nevertheless, you can get it right in the archives in about 10 minutes after the show ends. And, George, I want to thank you again.
All right, well, thank you. God be with you, and God bless your audience.
All right.
Thank you, George.
Good night.
Good night now.
See you soon.
All right. Good night, everybody.
And please have a happy 4th.
Yeah, safe 4th.
And remember, as our caller did, told us all about our rights. Remember those, and
yeah, especially when they pull you over for DWI, okay? So just remember, got a warrant, bud. All right? So we'll leave you with those wise words. And take care and have a happy good night. Happy holiday.